you have a Bible today, I want you to go to Psalm chapter 45, verse 2. This is one of my favorite services of the year because I get to share something that is so impactful for so many. And here's what the Bible says, Psalms chapter 45, verse 2. It says, "You are the most handsome of all." Now, you didn't know they were writing that about you, did you? "You are the most handsome of all. Gracious words stream from your lips. God himself has blessed you forever. Put on your sword, O mighty warrior. You are so glorious, so majestic." Now, it's talking about Jesus, verse 4. "In your majesty, ride out to victory." In your majesty, ride out to victory. I'm glad y'all rode out to victory today. And then it says, "Defending truth, humility, and justice." It sounds like something from Braveheart, but it's not. It's right straight out of the Bible. And then he says, "Go forth to perform awe-inspiring deeds." But I want to read that verse 4 one more time. He says, "In your majesty, ride out to victory." Somebody say, "Ride out to victory." "In your majesty, ride out to victory. Go forth to perform awe-inspiring or awesome deeds." Today, I want to preach to you a very special Man Day message for every man that is within the sound of my voice. And it is very simply this: ride or die. Somebody say, "Ride or die." Come on, look at your neighbor and tell them it's time to ride or die. Now, for some of you, you may be familiar with the saying, "ride or die." For others of you, you may not. So let me define it for you. The saying "ride or die" very simply means, it means to ride it out or to die trying. It means through thick and thin, I'm in it all the way to the end with you. I thank God that we serve a ride or die kind of Savior. When Jesus said in Matthew 24, "He who endures till the end shall be saved." We serve a ride or die God, and he's looking for ride or die people. Ride or die is a person who does what it takes to make it through with you. It's a person who stands by your side. They never leave you. It's somebody who's got your back. They're watching your six no matter what. The writer of Ecclesiastes said it like this: a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. That's ride or die. Ride or die people will go through hell and back with you. They are there through thick and they are there through thin. The Bible says a friend loves at all times and a brother is born for adversity. Anybody been through any adversity? Just wave at me today. Yeah, I'm in the right place. If you've been through adversity, it means you've got an adversary. But that's why God has given you other believers to link with so that you can overcome together. And so we serve a God who is looking for ride or die men. He's looking for ride or die marriages. He's looking for ride or die friendships in churches and kingdom connections. He's looking for ride or die believers. He's looking for people who say, "You can count on me." And it speaks of loyalty. It speaks of commitment. It speaks of sacrifice. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word today. Father, I thank you that it is alive and it is active and it is empowering us. And I ask in the name of Jesus that we would leave here anything else but not the same way we came. Transform us today by the power of your Spirit. God, mold us and make us into the image of Jesus Christ. Take our heart in your hands. And for the next few moments, God, I pray that these would not be the words of a man, but they would be the word of God. They would be spirit and life. They would be grace and truth. And most of all, we ask if there be anyone here today that is not walking with you or that has fallen away from you today, that they would come back home and that relationship be restored. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. The Bible is full of ride or die men. The men of the Bible were not weak-kneed, limp-wristed pansies. They were lions. They were men who ran toward the fight, not away from it. They were men who were fearless in following the voice of God. They didn't back down from challenges. They weren't afraid to risk everything in service to their God and their King. They were unafraid to throw their hat in the ring and say, "Count me in." They were men of honor, men of integrity. They were valiant and courageous. They weren't afraid or ashamed to shed their blood and lay down their life for the cause of Christ and to hold up the banner of God's love for others. Every one of them had an intense commitment and a deep conviction, and they were driven by a mission. They had a vision in their hearts for the life that God had called them to live, like an internal blueprint that gave them the ability to build lives that outlived who they were. It's why we're still talking about them today. It's why we're still influenced and inspired by them today. That's what Ride or Die is all about. It's about leaving a legacy. These were real men. And I think about some of the men in the Bible, because we don't talk nearly enough about just how masculine some of these guys were. I think about David. When David got married, his father-in-law asked for a dowry for his daughter. He said, "If you're going to marry my girl, I want a few hundred foreskins of my enemies." Now you think about the logistics of that one today. I think about David when he was marked by God and he stepped out onto the battlefield against that champion Philistine. When everybody else had run, when the nation was cowering, David stepped up and he said, "I serve a God who is able to deliver me from this giant that I'm facing today." And he went out there with nothing more than five rocks and a rag, and there he slayed that champion and he took his head off with his own sword, and he won the victory on that day, and it brought faith and courage into all God's people watching. I think about Gideon, who led an army of 300. Y'all think the movie 300 is something that somebody in Hollywood dreamed up? This is straight out of the Bible. Gideon led an army of 300 men against over 100,000 Amalekites, and he defeated them. Why? Because he understood that if God be for us, who can stand against us? He understood that me and God are always a majority. You might be feeling isolated and alone today, but I come to tell you, if God be for you, there is nothing that can stand up against you. Can I get an amen this morning? I think about the book of Daniel. There was a wicked king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar, and he built an idol that was over 90 feet tall. And he said, "Everybody in the land, it needs to worship this idol. This is the only God you need." And he said, "If you don't bow down and worship this idol when the music starts playing," he said, "I'm going to throw you into a furnace, and you're going to be burnt to a crisp. I'm going to turn you into a crouton." And so there were three Hebrew homies by the name of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they said, "We refuse to follow the order of the king." And so when the music began to play, everyone in the entire land began to bow down and worship the idol. And here were these three guys who were standing together. They were taking a stand for something. That's Ride or Die. God is looking for men and women to take a stand for him. And they said, "We'd rather be burnt to a crouton or a crisp than to compromise our character and to forfeit our calling. We'd rather bow our knee to God than bow our knee before any idol. We fear God more than man. And King, you do what you want, you do what you will, but we don't care. Our God is able to save us from the fire, and even if he doesn't, he's still a good God, and we're still going to serve him." The king got so angry, he ordered that the furnace be heated seven times hotter than it already was. It was so hot that the men who stoked the flames died. And so when they took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego down, and they threw them into the fiery furnace, all of a sudden the Son of God appeared in there. And the king said, "We threw in three guys, but I see four." I come to tell somebody with a ride or die in their spirit today that the king is in the furnace with you. That God is in the furnace with you. You might be walking through the fire, but you're not alone. And what you're going through is not what you're going to. They had a ride or die. I think about the men that followed Jesus Christ. These are the stories we don't tell nearly enough. I think about James, one of the sons of Zebedee. James and John, they beheaded him. Herod had his head cut off for being a follower of Jesus Christ. But what fascinates me, y'all, is that the Roman soldier that was assigned to James, that guarded him, he watched amazed as James defended his faith at his trial. And later that Roman officer walked beside James to the place of the execution. And he was so overcome by conviction. He was so convinced in the Jesus that James believed in, that he also declared his new faith to the judge. And he also knelt beside James, and they were beheaded together. Let me tell you, y'all, that's ride or die right there. I think, can we just give God praise for James today? I think about Andrew, who was a follower, one of the apostles of Christ, and he was crucified on an X-shaped cross in Patras, Greece. And after being whipped severely by 7 soldiers, they then tied his body to that cross with cords to prolong his agony. His followers reported that when he was led toward the cross, Andrew saluted it with these words. He said, "I have long desired and expected this happy hour." Can you imagine? And we get upset whenever our car won't start in the morning. He said, "I have long desired and expected this happy hour." That's ride or die right there. Let me tell you, y'all, that's taking counted all joy to a whole new level. When you're looking at a cross and you face it, you say, "I have looked forward to coming to you." Because he had the privilege of laying down his life for Christ. But it didn't end there. Once they crucified him, he continued telling people about Jesus for 2 more days until he finally died. Can we give God praise for Andrew today? Think about the Apostle John, who wrote the book of Revelation. Y'all know that he was thrown into prison and then sent to the prison island of Patmos, where he wrote the book of Revelation. It was a maxi prison for the worst of the worst. But what most people don't realize is how he ended up there. The Romans hated him so much, they took him into the Colosseum to make a display of him. And they had a boiling vat of hot oil, and they took John and they were going to dip him down into that oil. Now, you know, when you boil something, when you boil meat, it gets real soft and it begins to fall off the bone. And they boiled John in that cauldron of boiling oil. And everybody in the Colosseum is there watching it. That's how they'd spend their Saturday. They'd go there to see these kind of things go on for entertainment. But when they pulled John back up out of the oil, they were expecting to see something grotesque and gruesome. And what they ended up seeing was a man whose body was not scarred and not harmed in one bit. And history tells us that every person in the Colosseum that day threw their hat in the ring with Jesus Christ and said, "I want to follow a God like that." Can you give God praise today that he is able? Hallelujah. That's what history teaches. I think about the Apostle Peter. Man, he was as ride or die as you get. He was a risk taker. He's the first one who jumped out of the boat and walked on the water. He was the first one to declare that Jesus was the Christ. I remember one day as I was reading scripture and I saw the story about Peter. And he said, "Jesus, I'm ride or die with you. I'm going to go with you to the end." And Jesus was telling him about God's plan for his life, that he would have to suffer and be crucified at the hands of the Romans. Peter said, "Jesus, I'd never let that happen to you." And Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And he rebuked him. And even after that, Peter didn't fall away. Peter didn't get offended. Peter didn't get upset. Peter didn't say, "Jesus, forget you." He didn't take it personal, but he continued with Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, that's ride or die today. Peter was willing to fight for Christ. God is looking for people who will stand up for Jesus. But what I love is that Peter failed miserably. Anybody ever failed? Let me try that one more time. Has anybody ever failed? Let me here. We've all failed, but that's good news today, y'all, because the Bible is full of people who failed. Jesus has never used a perfect person yet. He only uses people who have failed. He only uses people who are flawed. He only uses imperfect people, because that's the only kind of people there is. See, just because you failed doesn't make you a failure. Failing is an act, but failure is an attitude. The act is not final, but the attitude is. Failing is no excuse for why we are where we are today. Our act is not why we're in our situation. Our attitude is our issue. And so God, through his grace, gives us the power to get back up and overcome that and do even greater things. If you're thankful today that you serve a God who doesn't use your past to determine your future, would you just let him know it this morning? Like I said, Peter was as ride or die as they come. But here's the deal. Jesus was crucified on the cross for you and me. Peter saw it happen. Peter was so humbled by what Jesus did for him. When it came time for him to die, they crucified him. But before they tacked him to that cross, he said, "Hang on, boys. I'm not worthy to die the same way my master did. I want you to crucify me upside down." And that's exactly what they did to Peter. And my question for you this morning is,
is what was it? What was it that had such a hold on their hearts, that had captivated their minds? They were ride or die men, but I can't just say, hey, you got to be ride or die. It doesn't work that way. They were ride or die men because they had witnessed their leader be a ride or die servant for them. Can I tell you today, we serve a ride or die God. And that's why we can be ride or die people. Let me draw your attention to 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 5 that says, for there is one God, somebody say one God. And one mediator, somebody say one mediator. Between God and men, there was a gap between us. That gap was created by our sin. We've all sinned and fallen short of God's best. Nobody in this building today or outside it can say that I've never sinned in my life. But here's the good news, y'all. The Bible says the man, Christ Jesus. I want you to say that with me. The man, Christ Jesus. Let's say it again. The man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. Jesus gave his life. He said, I didn't come to be served, but I come to serve you. I didn't come to take your life. I come to give you new life. Jesus was more than just a man. Jesus was the man. Somebody look at your neighbor and tell him today, Jesus is the man. Jesus is the man. Now I want you to think about who this man was, because scripture reveals to us, it says that this man told the wind and the waves to shut up. The Bible says that this man stared 2,000 demons in the eye when he met a man at Gadara and he told them to get the hell out. This man never shirked a responsibility. This man never looked for an easy way out. This man paid his own way and yours too. He's a trailblazer. He's a way maker. He's a chain breaker. He's a deliverer. He did what it took to give his family a better future. He led us by example that we're still following today. He kept his word no matter what it cost. Hours before he went to the cross, he went into a garden called Gethsemane to get alone because he was struggling with what was ahead of him. Maybe you're struggling in your life today with some hard things you're facing, and there Jesus got on his knees and he began to weep, the Bible says, until his sweat fell from his brow like great drops of blood. But something happened on his knees in prayer. Something happened as he was talking with his Father, and he got up from that place with the strength he needed to face the cross with joy in his heart, and he finished by saying, not my will but yours be done. In other words, Jesus said to his daddy, ride or die, let's go do this. And they came and they arrested an innocent man. They tied him to a whipping post where Roman soldiers took a cat of nine tails, and on the tip of them was bone and glass and stone, and they would whip his body until it shredded his flesh like ribbons hanging around his waist. And from that place they took this dehydrated mess of a man and they laid a cross on his back, and they led him up Golgotha's hill, the place shaped like a skull. And there at Calvary, they drove the nails through his hands and they drove the nails through his feet, and his blood shed for you and for me. And there he bridged the gap between heaven and earth, between God and man. And this mighty man took them both and he pulled them together. Somebody give God praise this morning. Amen. But it didn't end there, right? If that's where it ended, it's a tragedy. But it didn't end there. If it ended there, it's just a good story that moves us by a sacrifice. But then he borrowed a tomb because he planned on giving it back, where for 3 days his body lay while his spirit descended into hell, and he defeated Satan and he defeated death. That's who we came to celebrate on Man Day. There is one man in the limelight today. There is one man in the spotlight today. It is the Lamb of God, the Lion of Judah, the Hero of Heaven, the Hope of Humanity. His name is Jesus. He's the Christ. He's the Son of God and Savior of man. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the beginning and he's the end. He promised to finish the good work that he started in you. Hallelujah. He's my Redeemer, my Rewarder, my Rebuilder, my Restorer. Thank God for the man named Jesus Christ from Galilee. Come Come on, give him praise. You may be seated. I want to ask the worship team to join me. That's the man we serve today. That's the man we celebrate today. That's the man that determines the kind of man that I can be and that you can be today. But Satan has perverted who Jesus Christ is in the minds of men. The Jesus in the pages of this Bible was a man's man. The Jesus in the pages of this Bible was a man that manly men were attracted to and wanted to follow. And for too long, we've given the world a picture of Jesus painted in the soft glow of muted light with high cheekbones and a demeanor more suited to Richard Simmons. And it's no wonder that there are no men in the church. It's because they can't relate to a guy like that, much less a God like that. Men want a leader who rides a sick whip. Men want a leader with fire in his eyes and hair like a lion's mane. Men want a leader with a tongue as sharp as a samurai katana. Men want a leader who carries a lead pipe like a sheriff Buford Pusser and he's not afraid of using it. Men want a man who annihilates his arch enemy with a blast of his breath like the afterburner on the jet engine of an F-22 Raptor. And today I'm not talking about the Avengers. I'm talking about the Alpha and Omega. I'm not talking about Iron Man. I'm talking about the Anointed Man. I'm not talking about Marvel. I'm talking about the Messiah. He leads his army into victory, not one time, not two times, every single time. That's the Jesus men need to hear about. He is the turn the other cheek Jesus, but he's also the Lord of hosts. He's also a champion, and he's your warrior today. Said that to say this: Jesus wants you to be a man. If you are a man, let me clarify. I know there has been some confusion on that. There is nothing feminine about following Jesus Christ. I'm going to say that again. There is nothing feminine about following Jesus Christ. There is nothing feminine about following Jesus Christ. And all the real men said amen. Amen. See, for too long, men's men have thought that this place called church was only for guys who are bossed around by their wife, wear pink every Sunday, and squat to pee. But I come to tell you that real men go to God's house. I come to tell you that just because you got saved doesn't mean you had to forfeit your man card. Come on, where are my real men at? Where's the real men at? Where's the men unafraid and unashamed to lift him up? I want all the men to say, I'm a man, I love Jesus, and I carry a man card. You can be seated. To be godly is to be manly. And to be manly is to be godly. To be godly is to be manly, and to be manly is to be godly. It's time that the church and blood-washed men who have been redeemed, who have been set free, start showing this world what real men look like. I am sick and tired of men and fathers being painted on every TV show as the village idiot. That ain't me, and that ain't you, and I don't know what America that is, but it's not the one I'm living. I'm a man's man. I carry my wife's purse. I rub her back. I tell her I love her. I play Barbies with my little girls. Let me tell you, there is nothing that is not masculine about showing your wife and children how much you love them every single day. I was laying on the floor doing push-ups a while back here. My five-year-old, why are y'all laughing? I don't look like I do push-ups. Yeah, I can do a few. Give me some credit. Goodness. Wait till you get outside to talk about me. And I'm laying there on the floor. Man, I got a little sweat going. I'm feeling good about it, John. My five-year-old looks at me. She says, Daddy, I see your guns. I'm like, even my five-year-old can recognize there's still some steak under them taters. No, don't clap yet. It ain't over. Then I realize she gets down like this, and she's looking along the floor, and she says, yeah, Daddy, there's your Nerf guns right there under the coffee table. Busted my bubble. It was gone right there. Masculinity is a gift from God. You neuter a dog, not a man. Follow your man. Let him screw up. All you need to do is pray for him. God still numbered the hairs of his head. He'll get there. Ladies, we're slow, but we'll get there. Just let him think it's his idea. And all the ladies said amen today. But men, you are the foundation of everything God does. When God wanted a family, he started with a man. When he sent a Savior, he sent a man. When Jesus built his church, he did it on 12 men whose hearts had been touched. They had a man crush. They had the most phenomenal bromance. For 3.5 years, they did life with Christ. And I thank God that we have the privilege of doing it with him today. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of what? He didn't say children. He didn't say wives. He didn't say women. Fishers of what? Why is God so fascinated with men? Why does God care? Why is that important? I'm going to tell you why. Because when you get the man, you get the clan. I know it's not politically correct, but where the head goes, the body follows. And that's still biblical today. And if you get the man, you get the whole clan. Let me tell you something, dads. Your children are 3 times more likely to live for Jesus Christ every single day of their life until they meet him face to face if they grow up watching you do it. Can I tell you that you are the hope of your family? Can I tell you that your children, you are the most determining factor in their lives? It is because of you that they will go either to the state pen or to Penn State. Amen? I mean... Which one you hollering for, John? But here's the deal. God is looking for some men and women. God is looking for some Joshuas who will say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're not taking a vote. It's not open for discussion. I'm not talking about being a tyrant. I'm not talking about leading by executive order. I'm talking about leading by example. I'm talking about laying down our lives, men, for our families and winning their hearts so much that they can't wait to do what you ask them to do. They can't wait to follow you. They can't wait to serve you because you're such a blessing to their lives. My children are not going to learn to serve God from watching somebody else. They're going to learn from watching me. They're going to learn to worship God from watching me. They're going to learn to pray from watching me. They're going to learn to read their Bible from watching me. My boys are going to learn to respect women from watching you. They're going to learn a work ethic from watching you. It's not your wife's job. It's not the school's job. It's not the government's job. It's not the church's job. They are my responsibility. I brought them into the world, and I'm going to show them how to leave it. God is looking for some men and women whose heart's loyal to him. I just wonder today if, as God looks down from heaven, if there's any ride or die folks at Victory Church today. Some people that say, let's go, God. Some people that say, count me in. Some men and women that say, whatever it takes, whatever it costs, wherever it takes me, whatever you want to change in me, wherever you lead me, I'll follow. I wonder if there's any ride or die men and women at Victory Church. I wish you'd get on your feet and be counted for the cause of Christ. Come on, let him know it. Let him know it. Let him know, here I am. Think about Ernest Hemingway. Stay on your feet if you would. I'm almost done. Think about Ernest Hemingway. He wrote a short story called The Capital of the World, and it was a portrayal of the heartbreaking story of a Spanish father and his rebellious teenage son named Paco. After years of heated conflict, it had estranged them completely and destroyed their relationship. When Paco finally ran away from home, His father was so devastated, he launched a long search to find his son. And after many months to find Paco, his efforts proved fruitless. But in one final attempt, one last ditch effort to discover where his son was, the desperate father placed a notice in the personal columns of the Madrid newspaper, hoping that Paco would see the ad and that he would respond. Here's what the ad said. It said, "Dear Paco, please meet me in front of the newspaper office at noon. All is forgiven. Love, Father." Would you read those last two lines with me again? "All is forgiven. Love, Father." Let's read that one more time. "All is forgiven. Love, Father." What happens next blows my mind, because the next day at noon in front of the newspaper office, a squadron of guards had to be dispatched to disperse the 800 Pacos who showed up to meet their father. I want to tell you today that that shows just how fractured our world is when it comes to fathers. And if you're here today and you're suffering from a father fracture in your life, I know exactly how you feel, because that was me. But 18 years ago, I was embraced by the loving arms of a living father who loved me like I was the only person on this earth. He loved me when I couldn't love myself. He broke the addiction. He shattered the bondage in my life. He embraced me and he gave me a brand new identity. And with every head bowed and every eye closed here today, ride or die is a radical commitment. And today I'm challenging you to make a radical commitment to Jesus Christ. Some of you never have. Some of you did at one point, and others of you have been playing church. I'm challenging you to make a radical ride or die commitment to Jesus. Here's why. Because that's what he made to you. He gave his life for you. He's inviting you to take what is rightfully his, because he took what was yours. He took the punishment for your sin and for your crimes at the cross. Salvation is free, but it's not cheap. It's easy, but it's not automatic. It's as simple as ABC. It's as simple as saying, A, I admit I'm a sinner. B, I believe in my heart that Jesus died in my place for my sin. After living a sinless life, he did that for me, and 3 days later, he defeated death and sin, and he rose from the grave triumphantly. And see, confess, or say with your mouth, Jesus, you are my Lord. And so I'm speaking to those three categories of people today. Maybe you're here, you say, Josh, I've never received and accepted Christ as my Savior. I don't know where I'd spend eternity. Friend, you can know today. The Bible says he who believes in the Son of God has eternal life. He's an overcomer. I'm going to count to three in just a moment. If that's you, I want you to shoot your hand up. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to know who I'm praying with. We're going to pray together, and today's going to be a brand new start for you. You can shed the shame of your past. You can break free from the bondages like I did, and you can begin a brand new life. 18 years I've lived for Jesus. I don't regret a single day. My worst day with him is better than my best day for the world ever was. Maybe you're here today and you say, Josh, I used to walk with Christ, but I'll be honest with you today. Somewhere along the way, life happened, and I feel like I've lost my walk with God. Friend, today, come home. You haven't done too much. You haven't gone too far. He's as close as the whisper of his name. His arms are open wide. He's waiting on you this morning. I'm going to count to three, and if either of those are you, I want you to shoot your hand up. Josh, that's me. Today, I'm tired of playing games. Today, I need to know in my heart. Today, I feel that tug. I believe what you're telling me, and today, I want to give Jesus my life because I see the sacrifice he made for me. One, two, three. Josh, that's me. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. Hands all over the room. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. Is there somebody else here today? Just raise your hand real high. I see you right there. I see you under the balcony. I see you right here, brother. Church, can we give him a hand today? Thank God for your honesty. Keep your heads bowed. Is there another one here today? Just wave at me real high. There might be somebody outside today. Last year we had hands going up outside. Is there somebody else here today? Just a moment longer. Thank you so much for your honesty. Now let me ask one final question. You're here today and you say, Josh, I've been playing church. I've been coming to church. But I'm not as ride or die as I need to be, and I know God is calling me to a greater depth in my walk with Him. If that's you, slip your hand up right now. Right now, today, you want to renew a commitment to Christ all over this room, all over this room, all over this room, all over this room, outside. Now, everybody look at me. I'm not a priest, and you don't need me to get to God. That's good news for you, because I'm going home with Marcia, not y'all. She's a better cook and better looking. But the good news is, I'm a person who knows how to get to Jesus, and we're going to walk with Him together as friends, arm in arm. So today I want you to repeat this prayer after me. I'm not praying for you, but I am praying with you. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to You a sinner, and I need a Savior. And Jesus, I believe You died on the cross for me, and You shed Your blood for me, and You gave Your life for me. And 3 days later, God raised You from the dead, and You're alive, seated in victory. I ask You now to come into my life. All that I have, all that I am, I surrender to You totally and completely. I ask You now, forgive me of all my sin and make me brand new from the inside out. I thank You now for saving me. I declare boldly that You are my Lord and my Savior. And I ask that You help me to live, ride or die every day until we meet face to face. I thank You that I am Yours and You are mine. I thank You that all of heaven is standing behind me to help me live this life in a way that pleases You. I am free, I am family, and I am forgiven. And it feels so good. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And everybody shouted hallelujah. Here's the thing, y'all. The Bible says, Jesus said, the angels in heaven are throwing a party and having a celebration right now over just one person who commits their lives to Jesus Christ and repents from that old life. Can I tell you, there were many, many, many of you today, so I know heaven is throwing a party. Amen. And I want to say to you, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, welcome to the family. If you recommitted your life today, welcome back home. You don't ever have to leave again. No matter how many times you fall, all you got to do is get back up one more time than you fell down. His grace is sufficient for you. You keep running to Him until you get it right. And I promise you, there's a church here full of people who will love you, pray for you, and stand by your side. Victory, would you let them all know how much we love and appreciate them today? Our ushers have something for you. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, they'll be in the aisles there. They've got a packet for you, and we'd love to get that to you. There's a Bible in it. I've written you a letter, some easy five easy steps you can take right now to strengthen your commitment, not fall back into the old life. One of the most important things you can do is get plugged into a great church. I don't know about y'all, but I think you got a pretty good one right here. I mean, even if I wasn't the preacher, I'd come to church here. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for everything You've done in this place. Thank You. Today we are challenged and we are changed. I thank You for new lives born into the kingdom of God today. We celebrate that. I pray that You would protect and keep each and every one of us in our activities today. We apply the precious blood of Jesus over every heart, every home, every person, over every marriage, over every child. Let Your angels and hedge of protection surround us. Thank You for gorgeous weather for today. Thank You for the hands that prepared our food. And Father, we ask that You bless it to our bodies and our time with one another. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and everybody said, amen. One thing we do at Victory is we always leave with a shout. We shout hallelujah on three. Are you ready? Are you ready? Yes. One, two, three.
Hallelujah.
Have a great time.